Waiting to the Midnight Hour was Wilson Pickett on your radio, Fred. It's 12 minutes until 11 o'clock on your, thank God, it's Monday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. Well, we had to wait almost to the Midnight Hour to get our next guest on. He is Joseph Klest from the great city of Chicago, who's practiced law for 30 years. He's well-respected by his peers and is nationally recognized for his work in helping abuse victims. He also has several years of film production experience under his belt, including but not limited to his recent role as producer of Defending a Monster, a feature-length documentary regarding the trial of John Wayne Gacy. He is also the author of the recently released book, The Whole Truth. Please welcome finally to your radio friend, Joe Klest. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me. Right, this is a fifth try. Finally, we made it.
Well, last week, our phone lines went out. And so we had you all scheduled and ready to go, and then I couldn't raise you this morning, so I was a little concerned. But finally, you made it. Thank you very much for being with us.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So how did you get involved with issues of abuse?
It was kind of a random thing. We were was late on a Friday. We were sitting around having a beer, and my associate, Dan Broderick, who authored the Gacy book, got a call from a young man who said he was molested by a priest. And he didn't do civil stuff at the time, so he said, do you want to handle this? So we had the client in, and I started investigating it, and it was kind of fortuitous because back then we didn't have the internet, so I went to the periodical guide. There was an article in Time magazine about a Chicago woman whose son was molested by a priest. And I contacted her, and she said, yeah, I'd love to talk to you, and by the way, I'm forming a support group for victims, and the first meeting is this Sunday. And it turns out all the major players, like Father Tom Doyle and Barbara Blaine and some other people who ended up being very strong victim advocates, were there, and I got immediately involved in it.
How prevalent is child abuse and sexual abuse in institutions, obviously, like the Catholic Church? We know that former Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert, just went to jail, not for sexual abuse, but he had to admit being a pedophile. How prevalent is it in the institutions that deal with children?
It's extremely prevalent. And the Federal Education Department determined that about 10% of public school students are abused or attempted to be abused. And it's actually more prevalent in public schools. And the people don't know about it because public schools have immunity from lawsuits for negligence. The only reason you know about it, really, with the Catholic Church and other institutions is because lawsuits were filed.
Who's not going to be negligent?
The public schools cannot. They have immunity from lawsuits for negligence. And these cases are based on negligence because it's usually the institution that either ignored some signs or knew about it and didn't do anything about it.
Public schools are not able to be held liable. They have immunity for sexual abuse of their students.
Yes.
How is that possible?
Well, they gave them general immunity for everything. So if a kid slips and falls in the playground, they can't be sued. And this, because this falls under negligence, they have immunity for all negligence. What I'm advocating, though, is that while I think it's okay for them to have immunity for that type of stuff, you know, for slip and falls and things of that nature, that they should make an exception and allow them to be sued for sexual abuse cases.
One of my best friend's daughters was sexually molested and abused by her brother-in-law, so my friend's son-in-law, from the time she was 7 until she was 15. And nobody knew about it. And when she was 18, she came to her dad, my best friend, and told him what had happened. And he had a real predicament on his hand because he loves his son-in-law. And so he had him prosecuted, and the man went to jail. He pled. He went to jail for 3.5 years. My friend lost his entire family over the incident. And one of the things that he discovered in studying pedophilia is that pedophilia is not just a case of sexual abuse. It literally is a sexual orientation. And you can't change somebody's sexual orientation. What do we do about that?
That's a very good, that's very true. You know, people, one of the problems they had in the Catholic Church is that a number of decades ago, they would try to treat these guys, and the psychiatrists would say, we can treat that. Well, you couldn't treat me to be a homosexual because I'm not, right? It's the same thing with pedophiles. You just have to be careful and protect your kids. I mean, now that we know about it, people are taking steps to make sure their kids aren't alone with people for, you know, individuals for long periods of time.
We're talking with author Joe Klass. He wrote the book, The Whole Truth. He is an expert on sexual abuse in our society. Okay, I'm going to say something that is going to be controversial, which is not an unusual situation for me. I think that it's very possible sexual abuse and pedophilia, or the incidence of pedophilia, has become worse since we've raised the age of consent and the age that people could get married. What say you?
Well, you know, part of the issue of sexual abuse, it's for example, in the Mayan Peninsula in Mexico, as soon as they start being fertile, they're having babies. It's the norm there. So part of it is society's overlay that, you know, there is a certain age where you shouldn't be having sex. And it's that overlay, I think, in part, that causes the damage.
Because here's my perspective on it. Now, I am not attracted to younger girls. I'm just not. In fact, I'm attracted to older women, as a matter of fact. But if pedophilia is a sexual orientation, and let's say, just for the sake of discussion, let's look at Jerry Lee Lewis, who we know got married to his cousin, who was 13, which was, by the way, legal at the time. Let's say he was and a 13-year-old sometimes is in a much better position, both obviously physically and emotionally, to have sex than some 18-year-olds or 21-year-olds, for that matter. And so you make having sex with somebody under 17 or 16 or certainly 13 illegal. So if a guy is sexually oriented that way, and he's thinking, well, I'm going to go to jail for having sex with a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old, what the hell? I'll have sex with a 7-year-old, which will be a lot easier than me trying to, you know, talk a 13- or 14-year-old girl into it. What do you think about that perspective, given your background and your expertise?
Well, you know, part of the thing with our society is that it's become more and more complicated to get ahead. You know, 500 years ago, when you were 13, you were out in the fields working. Now you have to go to school until you're practically 27 to, you know, to get ahead. So I think that's part of the reason that they raise that age. And in one sense, I agree with you, but on the other sense, we have our societal norm as it is, and you have to live by it.
But obviously, we've got a major problem. You wrote a book called The Whole Truth. We have a major problem. What we're doing isn't working. It's causing more of a problem than we had before, at least theoretically, with men having sex with teenage girls. What are we going to do about this?
Well, see, I can't necessarily agree with you that more of it's happening. I think we're just finding out about more of it now because people are more willing to come forward. We have societal norms you have to live by. There's no two ways around it. And the only thing that we can do, really, I think, is just you got to protect your kids.
How do you do that? Simple. How do you protect your kids?
Well, you just make sure that your kid is not alone with an adult at any given time. And that's doable. Yeah. And the other thing is if you talk to your kids about this early on and let them know that it's, you know, not considered okay for an adult to have sex with them when they're a certain whatever age they are, they'll be more willing to not, you know, they'll not do it, and they'll be more willing to tell you if somebody tried to do it.
This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. We're talking with author Joe Klass from Chicago. He wrote the book, The Whole Truth. What is the whole truth?
Well, the whole truth is that sex abuse is a whole lot more common in the country than anybody thinks, and it's not just limited to the Catholic Church. It's even more prevalent in public schools and other institutions.
I've seen a statistic that over 30% of women had their first sexual experience forced upon them. Is that high or low?
No, I'd say that's probably about right.
30% of women out there, their first sexual experience could be considered rape.
Well, yeah, rape and forced are there's a line between there somewhere. I would suspect a lot of those things where they say it's forced, there's two drunk people, and the guy got a little pushy. Now, is that rape? Maybe it is. It just depends on the nuances of the circumstance.
Well, your typical feminist would say it's rape for sure. They call it date rape.
Well, it depends on the level of force. I mean, if it's just, you know, oh, come on, please, and a little pushing, then maybe that's not. But if it's you know, holding down and doing something, then obviously.
How about what's your opinion on the difference between a male forcing himself on a young woman and a woman forcing herself or being in a sexual relationship with a younger boy? Like we've seen now in so many cases.
What do you mean? You mean somebody who's not legal?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's just as bad.
But the teachers who do get caught don't get in, the female teachers don't get in near as much trouble as the male teachers.
Yeah, I would say that's true unless the press is all over it.
Well, I just moved here to southern Wisconsin about 8 months ago from Tampa, and we had the incident, I can't think of her name right now, but it was very attractive. She was about 23 at the time, and she had a sexual relationship with her 14-year-old student. And she hardly did any jail time.
You know, there's a double standard in this country.
But isn't there a difference between a man forcing himself on a young girl and a woman forcing herself, if you will, on a young man?
Yeah, force is a whole different thing. That rarely are these things forced. They're usually groomed into accepting it. So it's. I don't think I've even had a case. I had one or two cases where it was forced, but almost all of my cases have been where the you know, individual, the older individual, forms a relationship with the younger person and grooms them into believing that it's okay for them to be having sex.
Is that what Dennis Hastert did?
You know what? I don't know the details of that, but from what I gathered, yes.
Can you imagine that guy was two heartbeats away from the presidency?
Yeah, that's crazy.
The judge made him admit that he was a sexual predator, even though that wasn't the case before them. That was incredible.
Yep. It can be anybody. Like you alluded to earlier, people are hardwired that way.
You mentioned that parents should not allow their children to be alone with an adult. But let's say a student needs to get mentoring or tutoring from their teacher. What do you do in those kind of cases?
Well, they've taken steps. They usually want to have somebody else in the room if that's possible, or they do it in an open place like a library.
Do you have kids?
I do. I have one son. He's 20 years old.
And how informed were you about this issue when he was growing up?
I was very. I've been doing these cases for 20 years, so I was very informed.
So what did you do for your son?
On a number of occasions, I just, we're out for a walk or something, and I told him what kind of work I do, and I said, don't be alone with any adult. And if something happens, you tell me right away, and, we'll take care of it.
What are people going to learn in the whole truth that they need to know about Joseph Klust?
Well, I think the most significant fact is that sex abuse is extremely prevalent in public schools, and nobody's doing anything about it. They don't have a program in place. And because they can't get sued, it doesn't make it into the press. Because if little Johnny, who was abused, goes to one of the news stations and said, I was molested by my science teacher, they won't publish it because they could be sued for slander. But if the schools can be sued, then the press can print that a lawsuit was filed alleging that Johnny was molested by the science teacher.
But the teacher unions won't allow that to happen, will they?
Probably not. Well, see, actually, they might, actually. The teachers' unions might be okay with that. It's the public schools that don't like it because it's their money that's going out the door.
He is Joseph Klust. He is from the great city of Chicago. He is the author of The Whole Truth. This is a deep subject. We need to revisit it another time, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more luck getting together from the outset. But thanks a lot for what you do and for helping the children of our society.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Thank God it's Monday. Hour of Power follows WRJN covering the world.
Tufts University threat, North Carolina lawsuit. I'm Chaz.